That song in many American hymnals, the tune originally came from the song God Save the King. God Save the King of England. Americans adapted the tune and ended the first verse with the words, "Let freedom ring." This is July 3rd, the Sunday of July 4th, tomorrow, an American celebration. And I share with you a couple of quotes that I have for the congregation in the bulletin. The first from John Adams, founder, one of the founders of the United States of America. He was later president of the U.S., and he spoke about the celebration in July. The Declaration of Independence was actually signed on July 2nd, but the announcement of its signing was July 4th. But he was sure there would be a celebration one day or the other. He wrote in 1776, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade." The other is a Bible verse from the Apostle John, 1 John 3:16. "By this we know love, that he," that is Jesus, "laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We have an affirmation of our faith, which we make each time we gather. This one is from the letters of Timothy. "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen." The reading of God's word for today is from the letter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. The apostle writing to the churches in and around the city of Corinth, Greece. "Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him to." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This is July 3rd, July 4th Sunday at Daleville Christian Church. So today we're going to talk about freedom. We're going to talk about religious freedom. And since we're talking about July 4th, 1776, we're going to talk about history. But don't worry, I believe this is also your history. July 4th celebrates the day in 1776 when the Declaration of Independence signing was announced across the American colonies. It declared, "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown. July 4th is considered the birthday of the United States. The Declaration of Independence also stated, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The American Revolutionary War, the war for American independence, was already going on when the Declaration was made. It would take 5 years of war to decide the matter, and 2 more years to get the treaty signed, recognizing the fact. But the freedom that was declared only for free people, white and black. Yes, there were some free people of color, as they were known, and in every state. But the large majority of African Americans, nearly 4 million, by the time we approached the American Civil War, nearly 4 million were enslaved people in the United States. In Virginia alone, when the Civil War began, there were 58,000 non-whites free. But non-white enslaved, 500,000. 30% of the total population of Virginia. In South Carolina and Mississippi, the majority of the people were enslaved, 57 and 55%. In those states, the majority of the people were enslaved. In Louisiana and Alabama, close to that, 46.8% and 45%. Florida and Georgia both, about 47% of the total population enslaved. There were at the time of the Civil War, free people of color in the United States and in every state. In the same year as the Declaration of Independence, free and enslaved African Americans in Williamsburg, Virginia, the capital of Virginia, decided to organize the First Baptist Church in Williamsburg, gathering outdoors in secret in 1776. And that is the part that is important to us. Free Americans could not meet with enslaved Americans and worship together apart from the white congregations. Some slaves attended worship services with the families who enslaved them and had to sit in separate seating in the gallery. The laws about slavery would change from state to state, and laws concerning free blacks also changed through the years, always becoming more restrictive. By the way, First Baptist Church in Williamsburg, Virginia is still an active and vibrant congregation. They couldn't build a building until the 1800s. We're learning more and more about the free and enslaved Americans who formed and built First Baptist Church. You see, we want to look at First Baptist Church in Williamsburg because it isn't black history or white history, it's American history. And I would add, it's American Christian history. You see, we can celebrate freedom of religion since 1776, but many Americans could not celebrate freedom of religion until Juneteenth, 1865. Another reason to celebrate Juneteenth. Another reason for Christians and all religious people to celebrate Juneteenth. It's the celebration of the freedom of worship. You see, during slavery, not all enslaved persons were allowed to worship. In most slave states, it was illegal to teach slaves to read, therefore Bible reading was forbidden. This gave rise to several spirituals, including "Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus." One had to steal away from the slave houses to a meeting place where others had also come together for worship, and I'm talking about Christian worship. The spiritual had a second meaning besides getting to worship. It also reflected the attitude that only death would bring freedom from slavery, and that stealing away from the master in death would bring the slave home to our Lord. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. And I could add here that First Baptist Church of Williamsburg, Virginia, is one of the oldest African-American churches in the United States. There's more than one verse of our Lord that can be applied to this freedom, especially since almost all those who lived off the free labor of the enslaved, those who benefited most, considered themselves Christians, followers of Jesus. Slavery split the churches in this country just as slavery itself split this country. Michael Horton, professor of theology at Westminster Seminary in California, wrote, "Absolute equality of personal rights and property rights between former masters and former slaves, a great idea not quite realized in the North or the South, the West or the East, even to this day. But at least it's a great idea." I would add that we want to remember on July 4th and on Juneteenth that this great idea of equality is a foundational American idea, although it is not fully realized. Professor Horton went on to state, "So instead of American Christians believing that American humanity is getting better and better, learning from its lessons of hatred and subjugation, American Christians be glad that God's grace continues to keep us from going backward, which we are completely capable of doing because of sin." Talk about backsliding. Pastor McManus says these holidays can remind us to keep moving in the direction of equality, instead of thinking that the holiday celebrates that freedom for all has already been achieved. Christians also need to confess. Bible-reading Christians must confess freedom is not particularly important in our Bibles. Even after the children of Israel escaped slavery in Egypt, the law of Moses allowed for slaves. Even if a fellow Israelite had to sell himself to another, the Israelite was not to be treated as a slave, although he would not be free until the year of Jubilee. Still, the Israelites were cautioned, "Do not treat him ruthlessly, but fear your God." In the New Testament, the apostle states clearly that people should not shake up the social order. Do not shake up the social order, but that's not because the social order is good. Married remain married, single stay single, slaves stay slaves. Why did he say that? Because the end was near. The earlier letters of the Apostle Paul reveal he thought Jesus would return in his own lifetime. Eventually, the Apostle's own death approached without Jesus' return. Because of the Apostle's admonition to remain a slave, on that basis, some slave owners allowed their slaves to attend Christian worship. Some even had chapels built for the slaves' worship. But not every slave owner did that. I read of one slave owner who one Sunday a month had a doctor look over his slaves, but not every slave owner did that. I had a friend, some slave owners beat their slaves as punishment, and some even beat their slaves to death. And I had a friend who didn't understand why a slave owner would do that since slaves were considered valuable property. Well, there are a couple of reasons for that. A slave owner didn't always buy slaves. Slave owners often inherited slaves. The record shows that some slaves were given as gifts to their adult children. George Washington inherited his first slave at age 11. And the one solution that no one wants to talk about is that the slave owner could make his own slaves by impregnating his female slaves. The genetic record is clear. Some of Thomas Jefferson's great-great-great-grandchildren are black. What some slave owners called, and the old records called, mulatto. But those children would still be slaves. And being the slave owner's child by a slave did not grant you any privileges. You were just another slave the slave owner didn't have to buy. You came cheap. And I would add here that just because you didn't own slaves didn't mean you didn't use slave labor. You could rent slaves from your slave-owning neighbor. The government could rent your slaves or force them to help build public buildings. The White House in Washington, D.C. was built with slave labor. George Washington, even though he instructed that his slaves be freed upon his death, and as far as we know, they were, but the laws changed through the years restricting that. But in the 56 years that Washington owned slaves, over the course of George Washington's life, at least 577 enslaved people lived and worked at Mount Vernon, his home. Americans love nostalgia, but this is history. And the history of slavery in America is complicated. Not all African Americans were enslaved. There were free people of color, as they were labeled, in every state. I would hope you know about Thomas Day Furniture. Thomas Day was a free black furniture craftsman and cabinet maker in slavery, North Carolina. Thomas Day moved to North Carolina from Virginia, became a highly successful businessman, boasting the largest and most productive workshop in the state during the 1850s, handcrafting furniture. The largest and most productive workshop in the state of North Carolina, black or white. Still, his life was restricted by law, laws that changed and became more restrictive as America approached civil war. Why is this important to us? Because we fought a war to change it. Men from this church, men from this township died in that war. They died for change. They died for freedom. Theirs, yours, and ours. Black and white, all Americans. You see, if we think of black churches as separate from white church, we're inviting trouble. It was white Christians who restricted black Christians. It happened. We should be more wary of our neighbors than we are. We should be more wary of Christians in government than we are. We need to make sure that our government keeps its checks and balances between the three branches of government, judicial, executive, and legislative. Watch out especially for the legislative. They make the law. They made the restrictions on Thomas Day. They forced the First Baptist Church of Williamsburg to have its first meetings in secret. I've already told you of one hate group that had Bible study. They found plenty in their Bibles that didn't change their minds or their hearts about their enemies whom Jesus called them to love. I've heard other American preachers call for separation. I've heard about American preachers call for treating different people differently rather than equality under the law. One detail I found very important concerning the people who used to sit in your pew 150 years ago, many came from slave states to live in Indiana, which did not allow slavery by law. And when the war came in 1861, those same settlers from slave states sent their sons to fight their cousins in the slave states of Virginia and North Carolina. The Sons of Daleville and Daleville Christian Church said that people were going to be free. And Christians were going to be free. Black and white people were going to be free. And Christians, black and white, were going to be free. The law had to be made and enforced by thousands of men in arms. The law had to be made and enforced by thousands of men in arms, and some of them from this town. The law had to be made and enforced by thousands of men in arms to fight white Christians. White Daleville Christians fought white Christians who believed that God ordained slavery for people of color. So were white Christians bad? No. The Civil War film entitled Glory reminded me that white Christians from the northern states died to free black people in the southern states. To me, that is our heritage. That is your heritage, and it's a proud heritage. Slaves freed by the Union Army as it moved through the South joined in to fight with Daleville Christians. I have stood on the sandy soil of the Wilmington Peninsula where a Daleville man marched behind black Union soldiers as they fought all the way to Wilmington. The founders of our country put it on paper in July 1776, but the sons of Daleville Christian Church did their part to make good on the Declaration of Independence that we celebrate tomorrow. Friends, sing loud when you sing of freedom. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Amen.